a domain. Well,
Blog Talk Radio.
You know, the new mayor doesn't owe you anything.
Hold on,
I got to do something right quick.
This is your beloved brother, Muhammad, live on your radio, Blog Talk Radio. I come to you live in living color at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Tuesday, once a week, 52 weeks out of the year. On the behalf of New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, that brings you these broadcasts. We try to enlighten you, brothers and sisters, to give you understanding of the religion of El-Islam and why it is called El-Islam and not Islam. If you listen to this broadcast, you will find out that we try to put everything in perspective and we make it simple. We don't make it difficult, for we try from Monday to Sunday, 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, we bring you presenters, men and women who study the Holy Quran, men and women who live the nature in which we are created. At least I detect that, and that's how I choose my presenters, those who decide to be on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path of Allah, and that understand what the world is looking for, because it's so confused. Not just in your state or in your country, it's confusion all over the world. And Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the pressure on him of all humanity. Every human being that exists, his job was trying to awaken you to the knowledge that God wants us to understand. Most of us don't say that. We think that the prophet, the seal of the prophet, Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, we believe that this man, may the peace and blessings be upon him, was just for those who say they are Muslims. That is not so. We believe that he is exclusively for us that say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah. That is not so. We believe that Muhammad the Prophet is just for those who read the Holy Quran. That is not so. We believe that Muhammad the Prophet was created to only talk to those who's in the conscience of knowing that they are Muslim. That's not so. Brothers and sisters, we have gotten so off the course that we believe that if you don't mention Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace be upon him, you will not make it to paradise. Well, tonight I'm here to explain to you that is not so. I'm a student of Imam Waluddin Muhammad, and I take pride in saying that, brothers and sisters, because I love a man that stays up day and night, and because of his surroundings and temptation, he decided to study. He decided to give his time and learn what a lot of us did not know. We don't want to give him credit, but God says when you don't give credit where credit is due, he gives you no more. But Imam Waluddin Muhammad brought millions, nine hundreds, millions with an M, to El-Islam. For his father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, had millions following him. And we love the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. May Allah grant him paradise. For we understand him better today than we did before. Did you play a game called Simon Says? Who is Simon? You don't know. It was just a game. But if Simon says, stop, you stop. And Simon says, go, you go. And if you move when Simon didn't tell you to move, you was out. Well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was Simon. There was millions of men and women that would jump to attention when they heard him say, "Tangent, long live Muhammad." But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we tried to put it in perspective to make you understand that he didn't come here to teach you religion. For I loved him so much that I sat out on him 27 Sundays in a row during theology of time. And it's a story within itself how I was able to get that post for 27 weeks. Keep in mind, no one gave me anything. I'm aggressive like that. And most of the things I have done that can shock and amaze you, Allah always give me a witness bearer. And so Brother Sultan Muhammad, who most of y'all know as Joseph IV, he was with me. He can bear witness that for 27 Sundays, he and I sat up under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for 27 Sundays in a row. I had a love for him because I was looking for my father. He was it. And no one was keeping me away from being around my father. You had the Supreme Captain Raymond Sharif. You had Elijah Muhammad Jr. You had Yusuf Shaw. And there was many more. But you couldn't stop me. That's my enthusiasm. And back then, if you did something you wasn't told to do, they throw you out the window. I did not fear that. I didn't fear then, and I don't fear now. Because I came to a conclusion that you only fear when you're wrong. I didn't believe I was wrong. I'm here alive to explain that to you. So don't misconstrue. People will turn off this radio because you say Elijah Muhammad. How racist, how barbaric, how immature are you that you want to create your own concept? And most of them that come up with this concept never followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad anyway. Oh, yes, they was there because they was fearful that someone was going to do something to them physically, so they came over. All because we run the drug dealer out of town. We did a number on the pimp. And anybody that didn't have an X was in trouble if you said the wrong thing. So a lot of them came as chumps and cowards that wanted to be protected. They wanted that title, FOI, the fruit of Islam. But they didn't believe. And those are the ones that talk about the ride. Why, hell, brothers and sisters, they don't even talk about the ride that it took from us to come from Africa over here. Oh, they forgot about that. But they're going to talk about the ride. And most of them, brothers and sisters, that speaks ill of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was junkies. Check their background. Was junkies. Yes, they were shooting dope. They were snorting coke. They was pimps. They was hustlers. They was gamblers. Oh, brothers and sisters, they had no sustenance. And today, he cleaned them up. And now they're on the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they won't even give him credit. Wow, somebody needs to smack them. They deserve to be smacked because, to me, they're a bunch of sissies. How could you not love a man that was there when your own daddy was not there? Now let's put it in perspective. He didn't teach us religion, but he introduced it to us. But you can't come to religion and you a junkie. How you going to read the Quran and you high? Some of them are so messed up that they smoke reefer before they read the Quran today. They can't get out, they got to justify it. Then you had these different cliques, New World, 5%er. And the reason they chose these damn titles is because they could not live up to the expectation how a Muslim should conduct himself. Well, you got to have morals, man. You can't be an alcoholic, a seller of drugs, and, and pimping, that's not being no Muslim. That was not tolerated with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So he said, and listen to me carefully, because I heard it. I was sitting right up under him. Could have jumped up and stopped a bullet. I was so close on front roster. He said, I did not come here to teach you religion. I came to clean you up, and one after me will teach you your true religion. That's powerful. And that's bearing witness that what you're charging with, Allah forgave him. He did not teach religion. But he sure introduced us. He introduced us to the Holy Quran. And none of our prayers we ever seen Master Farad Muhammad. Isn't that amazing? But he knew if he had replaced Jesus or one looked like Jesus, you wouldn't accept it. You were so messed up in your mind and so turned around. But then you had brothers that heard him and felt they don't need a man that came from being an alcoholic, a third grade educator, teaching them El Islam when you go over to the Arabs. So they bypassed them and went over to the Arabs. Yes, they did. Now, we ain't faulting them. But it's amazing if you look and observe most of them while they're in neutral. Because Allah rewards us. One after me will teach you your true religion. That was his son. His son never believed in being no FOI. But his daddy was in charge. He respected his daddy. He told Malcolm, my father is not teaching the religion. If you think all white folks are devil, just go make Hajj. But when Malcolm came back, he said, don't buck my father. Now, here the son, Wallace, brought Malcolm into the light of understanding that what we was doing was rituals, but it was not El Islam. So Malcolm bucked him. See, timing is everything. Back then, anyone go against Elijah Muhammad was dead. Today, it was not correct. So you do things out of not knowing. And Allah will forgive you if you beg for forgiveness, because back then it was war. Men went to prison. Men lost their lives. Oh, it was terrible in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s. Those who lived it, only strong survived. We introduced El Islam to America. Brothers and sisters, we didn't play their games. We didn't gamble. We didn't do Easter. We didn't do Thanksgiving. We didn't do Christmas. We didn't play sports. We didn't do any of that. Entertainment. Or some of your best singers stopped singing, like Joe Tex. Some of your best athletes stopped playing ball because of following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, sport and play. He didn't accept that. But he accepted one man because he knew he was a great asset. His name was Muhammad Ali. Came to us as Cassius Clay, and he changed his name. And if you look at it, put all the imams together, put all the ministers together, they didn't propagate Islam, El Islam, like Muhammad Ali did, because why? He was worldly. He shook up the world, knew the Muslims was in America. And they didn't look foreign. They was African Americans. So we love Allah for that. May Allah be pleased with them and grant them paradise. During the time that there's men right now will not stand up, fearful that they would lose their title, fearful that they would lose their status, fearful that they would lose their money, or they will not let them play basketball, football, baseball, hockey, tennis, golf. They're not going to speak out. Muhammad Ali was chosen by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he went to his grave loving him, but on the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah be pleased with him. But Imam Warthi Muhammad came in 1975 after his father passed away, and from Minister Farrakhan on down, lift him up and said, this is our leader. But he had something we didn't have. He knew how to read the right side of that Holy Quran. But more importantly, he was able to bring the connection together, connect the dots. They won't tell you that. So let me introduce to you something that you don't know. You can take all of the masjids that's under the African American, every last one, and bring me your email. You can take all the emails that comes from the foreign country, whether it's Pakistan, Turkey, India, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, you name it. Just bring them all here. And then ask them a question. Brother Imam, you have a right to do that. Ask them a question. Brother Imam, are you, just ask them, are you the Imam? Are you the Imam in your country? Ask them that question. Ask them. I can give you an answer. He would tell you, no, I'm not. And then ask him, say, well, Brother Imam, if you are Imam here, why are you not an Imam in Egypt, Pakistan? Why are you not an Imam in Turkey? Why are you not an Imam in Saudi Arabia? And he has to answer you because he ain't qualified. And because he is not qualified, he can't wear that title. So when he gets on a plane and go back in his country, he comes in as a citizen. Not an Imam. Why? He does not know the right side of the Holy Quran. Oh, he can read it, just like you can read and sing rap. You can sing rock and roll. You can sing R&B. You can make these various different sounds, and it sounds good, very pleasing to the ear, but what do it represent? Words. Just loose words. So you can read the Holy Quran because all your life you was a poet. You was gifted in being a poet. That's what you did. You taught poetry. So now you learned the Holy Quran. You got that great sound. Very beautiful sound. My God, such a beautiful sound. But, they're raping men in your country. They're raping women in your country. They're blowing up masjids in your country. They are doing everything that's against what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will condone. Why? What's happening? This is Allah saying to you, brothers and sisters, if you don't read that Quran for yourself and you depend on others to read it for you, you ain't got this. You don't have it. Why? Because remember Walidin Muhammad was given the Holy Quran as a youngster, a young man. And by giving him the Holy Quran as a young man, he was able to be able to do what? To give it to you and I. He was able to give it to you and I, brothers and sisters. But where did he get it from? His daddy? Can't. Mathematically impossible. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't know anything about the right side of the Holy Quran. So where did he get it? But he was smart enough to give that book to his son at 3-4 years old and said, this is where you study. And then brought in men from foreign countries to teach not only him. There was a classroom of men and women to learn how to speak Arabic. Now, I'm going to tell you something, a brother that all y'all love, and I love him too. I love him because he stood up and he said the right thing. That's why I love him. I love him because he said the right thing. And because he says the right thing, I have to give credit where credit is due. His name is Imam Sirat. Everybody loves brother Imam Sirat because Sirat knows how to get that money if you broke. Then you call Sirat. Sirat is the money getter. Sirat is the money giver. And Sirat will tell you that if it wasn't for Imam Walidin Muhammad, he would know what he knew. Sirat, if you ever heard him speak before he came to the Sunnah, you would have thought he was Minister Farrakhan. Until you walk in the room and say, hey, Minister Farrakhan, that's Sirat. Yeah, from New York, Brooklyn. He was a common copy Minister Louis Farrakhan. I don't blame him. Farrakhan was outstanding. He came right after Malcolm. Malcolm, who could fulfill his shoes? But Farrakhan did just that. To the day, I love Minister Farrakhan. But I ain't inferior to him. I ain't copying no man. I ain't copying no man back then, and I don't copy no man today. But I respect knowledge. I'll tell you that. I do respect knowledge to the utmost, because that's how you survive. Allah bless us who he pleases, when he pleases. But Sirrah said at Warris, I'm sitting there, pack house, about 500-600 of us, and listen to his words. He said, my teacher is Imam Warris Deen Muhammad. And Imam Warris Deen Muhammad, I went to him and asked him, could I leave and go search on my own? Imam told him, yes, go do just that. He said, I went over into the foreign country and learned this language, because why should I listen to an English-speaking brother when I can get it direct? This is him talking now. I ain't putting words in his mouth. And he said, and I thought I had it, until I sat down and listened to the Imam Tafsir. For all you cowards that say he don't have a Tafsir, but yet none of you are on the level of Sirrah. And he said, when I realized that I made a major mistake and I got out the classroom, he said, I'm here to represent my leader, my teacher, Imam Warris Deen Muhammad. He is gifted. And if I had stayed with him, it would have made me more advanced in the Arab era. Not just words, putting the connection together of each word that God gives you in the Holy Quran. That's Sirrah. All you imams don't even have a community like Sirrah. Sirrah is love amongst all the imams. However, even he cannot go into Saudi Arabia and call himself an imam. Even he cannot go into Turkey and meet with the sheikhs and call himself an imam. You can come as a student, but you can't come as an imam. Now, I'm saying to you that Imam Warris Deen Muhammad, through the lawns and the wound of Sister Clara Muhammad, was put in our midst as a gift to show you and I how to study. You can't say he's foreign. You can't say nobody else taught him. How did he get it? The same way he taught us how to get it. Read it for yourself. Read Muhammad. Read in the name of your Lord that created. Read what, Lord? I don't have a piece of paper. What is God saying to you, man? He is saying, don't read what's on that piece of paper. Allah doesn't need that piece of paper. Allah don't need the ink and the ink pen. You know, if you take all the land and make it paper, and you take the trees and make it an ink pen, and take all the seven seas and make it ink, you can't write the ending of the wisdom of Allah. Allah doesn't need nothing from his creation. So he said to Muhammad, the prophet, read. Read in the name of your Lord that created. What is you supposed to read? You're supposed to read the air that you breathe. You're supposed to read the heart that pumps blood to every vital organ. You're supposed to read looking in the mirror and knowing that your mommy and daddy didn't create that. You should read the sun comes out religiously. It could be raining and storming, the sun rise religiously every morning. And the sun sets. And the moon comes out. Quarter moon, half a moon, full moon. And the stars light up the sky so you can see at night. Are you reading, man? Are you reading the water that God gives you? Do you read that the earth is filthy, that man's here, but Allah brings it from this filthy earth up to the atmosphere and then send it back pure so you can drink it, so it can grow your crops? Are you reading? Are you reading that you can smell? You can see? Are you reading you can taste? Are you reading, man? Are you reading that you can even go to the bathroom? Who created this? Oh, you're not reading. Because you need a piece of paper. You need man to write it down for you. But Allah didn't give Muhammad the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a piece of paper to read. And brothers and sisters, and since I am on that, and get this out of your head, that Allah told his human being three times to read. Well, that's mathematically impossible. And all Allah said be and it is. But you have to read the Quran. And if you read the Quran at least once a year during the month of Ramadan, or you imams that are supposed to read it every day so you can come and give them a clearer understanding, you will never find in the Holy Quran that Allah told Muhammad the Prophet to read three times. Oh, you don't know that? That Allah had to give him three commands before he began to read and he created him? Doesn't make no sense. You have lost your common sense. It's called common. Not hear, smell, taste, feel, see. I ain't talking about those five senses. I'm talking about your common sense. It was given to you in the womb of your mother. So it supersedes man's education. So what you learned when you got that social degree, that bachelor degree, that master degree, that PhD, that's man. And it's okay because Allah created us to be creators. But the Creator gave you common sense in the womb of your mother. Now, which one Allah wants you to have? Because you came out of that womb intelligently. You knew how to sneeze. Your mother didn't teach you that. You knew how to cough. Your mother didn't teach you that. You knew how to blink your eye. Your mother didn't teach you that. You knew how to smell. Oh, you even knew when you was full because you would knock the bottle and push her away, mush it in her face. I don't need no more food, but sometimes we ignore the intelligence of the child. You can't change yourself, but you cry God's language. You got her attention. And when she changes that diaper, you don't cry no more. Because you come in this world talking God's language. What you was teaching, you came into that. In this world, speaking Arabic? How about English? How about Swahili? How about Italian or Irish? Well, what was you speaking? Put all y'all behind the wall, your little children, your infants, toddlers, whatever you want to refer to them, they all cry God's language. You can't tell one from another. It's man that splitted us. And that allow us to realize that we have the same nature. Hopefully it's a law that I would be able to talk about how we all split up. And yet, if you cut a human being in Russia or in China or in Poland or in Saudi Arabia or Israel, and cut that same human being in America, we all bleed the same. If you die in Saudi Arabia, if you die in Israel, if you die in Pakistan, if you die in China, if you die over here in America, the same dirt goes on them that goes on you. Just that alone should teach you that we are one. We are one ummah. For some strange reason, You got people who learn this religion and cut it up in tribes. And that's why you all over the place. And you have no clue what you're doing. So Sarah bear witness that Imam Wallace Muhammad was a gift to us from Allah. 400 years of slavery, he didn't have to send us someone that didn't grow up with us. Farah did not grow up with us. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had to first clean you up so you can come to El Islam clean. You got brothers right now trying to figure out what foot should step in the masala first, the right foot or the left foot. That's how messed up they are. Because it's said in El Islam, you do not step in the masala with your left foot first. And you took it literally and stepped and played musical chairs how you going to get into the masala. You think that's stupidity? What about you can't shake a man's left hand? Because your right hand is what you possess, right? But you took it literally. And then you fought the Christians. Because the Christians say, Jesus got the whole world in his hand. God has the whole world in his hand. Whatever they want to call him, but they got the point that everything in the world is in God's hand, but God has no hands. That's for those who don't know how to read. But at least paints a picture that God controls the whole world. But when you study the Arabia, it means his two controls. It has nothing to do with the physical hand coming into the masjid. Be in your right state of mind. It has nothing to do with your right foot, your left foot, your feet takes you where you got to go. Walk right. Walk upright. But you thought it meant the physical feet. Oh, I'm not shaking his left hand. As if Allah created something dirty. You in the river drowning. And the brother grabs the pole with his right hand because that's his strong hand. And he puts his left hand out there to save you. I guarantee you, you will never say, brother, I ain't grabbing that left hand. Give me the right one. Well, drown, fool. You see how unintelligent that is? That they all messed up. I'm going to the right. Brother, you just passed me. No, you on my left. I can't shake your hand first, brother. I got to shake the right hand and go around the right way before I get to you. Well, that's kindergarten. You stuck on stupid. But I like seeing that. Because that's Allah saying, am I the Lord of all the world? Because you won't see it like that, do you, Marad? Thank you, Lord. Because I wouldn't know stupidity unless I saw it. I wouldn't appreciate intelligence unless I see unintelligence. But yet you go to Hajj. Go to Hajj and go around the right way. To your right. Brother and sister, you'll be dead. They will stop you. They will walk all over you. Why? They don't go that way. Which way they go? Counterclockwise. Oh, they making it sophisticated, because you don't know nothing about the clock that goes counterclockwise. That's to your left. What is Allah saying? I don't need man. You think I need man's way? Read. Muhammad. Read in the name of your Lord that created. But Allah said he ain't helping you until you help yourself. You must take a step first. You must change what's bothering your soul first, or you don't reach Allah. So Muhammad had to figure this out on his own. He couldn't get it in his mind. His forehead couldn't conceive it. You read the Holy Quran, if it was written on a mountain. Now, which mountain you want? Well, the tallest mountain is Mount Everest. So it was written on Mount Everest, Revelation, it will crush the sand. So meaning your hand would not withstand Revelation. So Allah did not write it on his forehead. Well, you can't speak it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad couldn't teach it because it wasn't in his head. And he couldn't confess it because it wasn't written on his tongue. So Muhammad the prophet realized that the one who created all of this is his Lord. So his heart began to listen. Then Allah, after he struggled to realize what he had to do, then Allah said, read, Iqra, read in the name of your Lord that created. And Muhammad began to read. He expanded Muhammad's chest. Prayers and peace be upon him. What did it mean he expanded his chest? Well, you know your heart is in your chest. And if you look at that heart in your chest, your heart is for your wife. Your heart is for your children. Your heart is for your relatives, your father. Your heart is for those who live in Newark. Your heart is for the state of New Jersey. How about the country? No. Allah expanded Muhammad's heart because he was the perfect model of a human being for all humanity. There it is. Oh, you didn't grasp that. Because if you had, you would never say, I'm just for me here in America. I'm just for my immediate family. Or those who say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. See the simple things, brothers and sisters. Now, you may hear a few of me using the word Arabia because you got big heads out there. If you don't know Arabia, you are low than they are. Isn't that amazing? I use a metaphor. If you was walking down the street with your child, whether it was a male or a female, and you run into a person that speaks Spanish. They speak Spanish. But you didn't teach your child how to speak Spanish. But yet, he's communicating with a Latino. He's literally communicating with him. You are impressed. Then you go further down the street, and an Italian comes and speaks in his language. Your child's communicating with him. Then you go further down the street, and a guy speaking French. My God, he's communicating. Then an Arab comes, and he holds a 10-minute conversation with your child. And he's conversing with him. When you get home, you're going to say, my God, son, my God, daughter, you didn't know that you can speak like that. I didn't know you knew all those different languages. And the child turns to you and says, Mama, did you understand the word that I said? No. But you was impressed. Well, that's what it is when you sit there for 2 hours here in Arabia. When they speak in Arabia to you and you're trying to listen to them speak Arabia, you are impressed. Because why? It sounds good to you. It sounds good to your nature. But the problem is you don't know what they are saying. So how did you get it? You don't get it, and they know that. All they want to do is dazzle you. Because the Arabia taught to me by Imam Rashid Muhammad, he said, go learn it for yourself and let God talk directly to you, and then you come back and give what God gave you in the language in which they can understand you. That's all I'm speaking. I'm speaking the Holy Quran in a language that you can understand. I want you to understand this, brothers and sisters. As I go further, why did Allah choose Muhammad the prophet? Because the Arabs were despicable. The Arabs were low-lifed. The Arabs, my God, it's unbelievable than the things they was doing. They were literally murdering women, children. Can you believe that? They were putting them in the ground alive because they thought there was a curse. They was walking around the Kaaba butt naked. They didn't produce anything. They were savages. Then you had Christianity, Judaism, paganism. They had everything but the right thing. So Allah chose one in the womb. He chose it in the womb. And you got faked out because it was an Arab womb. Well, they was Arab people. And the seed was Arab. Yes, you needed a man and a female. You thought Mary was coming back again and produced Jesus? So it took man and woman to come together. Allah planted that seed. Just like he planted the seed in the earth and brought your first original daddy and mommy. Then he planted the seed again in the earth of a female. Then she come from the earth and he produced Jesus without the aid of a man. Now you telling me that Allah cannot plant a seed into the womb of an Arab woman? Now if you go check each one of them out, none of them had any identity other than they was an upright Muslim. Now, man wants to give Jesus an identity and say he was in Christianity, and that's not so. The Al-Islam wasn't around, didn't need no religion. He was operating in his good nature, and man couldn't take credit because mama was taught by God himself. That's why there wasn't no man around, because if, in fact, a man was around, then he would take credit for Jesus. If, in fact, an Arab was around, an Arab would take credit for Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can't do it. Can't do it. So he was operating in his original nature. Never got out of it for 40 years. Because you would say, oh, that only happened for 5 years. 40 years. So what is he known by? His teaching? Because the word Arabia is different than Arabic, so they didn't know anything what he was saying, brothers and sisters. But why did they listen to him? Because of his character for 40 years. Obedient, honesty, integrity, moral decency, trustworthy, lovely. He had the attributes. And that's why they begin to listen. But Allah knew he couldn't use their language. So he needed one from amongst them, and he would teach them his language. Did you know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a student? He was being taught by God and didn't know it intellectually. Through what? His nature. And had him for 40 years acting as a Muslim should conduct himself. Isn't that amazing? He's now raising Muhammad. So this myth that he was an Arab, wouldn't you be insulted if God put an Arab? I'm an African American. I know I would. You can't give that to God. No, nobody tell you that. Arabs can't take credit for this. But he needed someone to talk to them in their language, because he can communicate with them to order to raise them up, but give them my language. So he taught Muhammad his language so he could teach them in their language. Oh, this is so easy. This ain't difficult. You make it difficult. I'm speaking to you in your language, giving you the connection that you didn't get before you listened to this show. I can do this for hours. Now, I didn't just woke up one day and say, this is what I'm going to do. But I was taught by a man that had no selfishness in him. And he taught me personally over 20 years how to stand upright. My success in the world was Imam Wadisdi Muhammad saying, you see this, Brother Murat? Allah says to engage in my creation. Ooh. I created you to engage into my creation. And I created my creation to engage in you. Here it is. Allah is asking us, just so happened, I've been taught this day and night, to engage into his creation. You know what is creation? It's the whole world. Not Newark. Not New Jersey. Not the East Coast, the West Coast. Not the United States. Not Israel. The Lord of Israel. Can you imagine that you got a group of religious people calling Jerusalem the Lord's country? Can you imagine that? Some pea brain got you thinking you going to God's country when you go to Jerusalem? How could Jerusalem, a little small country, be God's world? You narrowing him down to one little country? Then who are you to tell me to engage in being an African-American, to engage in being an Arab, to engage to look like someone else? So I did just that. I engaged into the world with no fear, because God said it. Operate as if you're in a field. That's what the Quran say. As if you're in a field. Why it say as if you're in a house? Are you in a city or a block of field? Is all of Allah creation. So I became successful. Men and women in all walks of life. The rich, the famous. I come from nothing. But Imam taught me how to read that Holy Quran. So people take jealous. And that's okay. It means I must be doing something right. So I don't see things like they see. They can't connect the dots. It's just dingling out there. So you go out every Friday or for prayer and you let someone lead you in prayer. But that same Imam didn't tell you, brother, sister, he didn't tell you about the Sunnah prayer. Who leads you in that prayer? That prayer is between you and your Lord. That prayer is between you and God. No man has to lead you. You must lead yourself. So that means you are obligated, if you want to be obedient to God, to learn his language. And you ain't got to know the whole Holy Quran. Don't you know Fatiha is the only surah of the Quran that you say Amin? Oh, I know. They didn't tell you that one either. From Baccarat to Hanaz is Salak al-Awadin. Not Fatiha. So you have to learn Fatiha before you can even go into your archives. And they so show off, brother, that they got to give you 15 minutes of Arabic. All you need is Fatiha. And you cover the whole Holy Quran. But no one told you there's seven levels to Fatiha. No one told you that Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is not just being repeated. And that's where I want to get to. Because Ar-Rahman is the first birth of the human being through the mother. That's Ar-Rahman. Inshallah, I want to teach you tonight how important your mother is. That's Ar-Rahman. Did they tell you that? No, they didn't tell you that. You're just going through the rituals. And when you learn how to love your mother, then you go into the second part of Fatiha, and you will learn Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. What is the two mercies? One is as an infant, learning how to love mama. The other one is your intellectual mind that you have to develop in coming into it. And most of you have not got to the second part. You just reciting, brother. So today, this evening, inshallah, I'm going to take the simple thing and give it to you. And hopefully you will cut all this nonsense out. Calling people kafirs and don't even have a clue what it means. You don't have a clue, but you use the word Salat al-Mustaqim. You don't even know what it means. He just says it. We say with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the praise and the thanks is for God. We thank him for the gift and the blessings of the mortal human person, Muhammad, the honorable, noble servant and messenger of God. was followed of that salute and that salutation to the last prophet, Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, the seal of the prophet, as mentioned in the Injil, as we refer to as the Bible, as it is given into the Holy Quran. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sa'asa wa salam wa sa rasuli kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sadaqa Allah wa deen. These are the words that we ask Allah to help us and guide our tongue. For Allah is in charge, we're not in charge. We ask Allah to allow us to give back that which God has given to us. And if you obedient to your Lord, if you stand up in your spirit and stand up in your soul, I know you're tired, you come home tired, you work many jobs, you're down and out, your mother's sick, you may be sick. Allah's not telling you to stand up in your flesh, but stand up in your spirit. Stand up in the spirit that God has breathed into you. He has breathed into you some of his spirit, and you came alive. That's why he asked Satan to bow down to his creation, not down to where you was when you was following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, dead, dumb, and blind, not when you was doing drugs and when you was selling drugs, when you was beating women and mistreating your mama. He ain't telling Satan to bow down to that. But when you come into your spirit and you come into your soul and you stand upright and you obedient to Allah, yes, you have to be obedient to Allah for him to help you. And once that happened, brother, now he asked them, his angels, to bow in sajdah prayer. Why? Because you are the Khalifa, not the Caliph. Caliph is an individual. We are not individuals, but we are one soul. But we are not individuals. We are a community made of men and women and children. That is a community. If you by yourself, nobody cares. So you have to learn this, brothers and sisters, while you do your sunnah. You have to assume your responsibility. You have to talk to God directly. You can ask God for anything, and guess what? He will talk back to you. Come here, little girl. How old are you? I'm 7 years old, sir. Where is God? He is close to me in my jugular vein. Now, how that little girl knows that? How that little boy know that? But you a grown man. You talking to everybody but God. Isn't that amazing? You even get married with a man telling you how you should marry and what you should do and what the Quran tells you to do, but follow him at home. He ain't even following those rules. Isn't that amazing? You got men, you got to pay for this. Here should be a gift to marry so we can have more people in the community. No, they charge you. They charge you because they can't make money on their own. They was employees before they came imams. So they don't know nothing but being an employee and bae. They won't even marry unless you pay them. And don't give a janazah. You got to pay them for that too. Yes, I heard an imam told a woman that if you ain't got the money, I ain't burying you. The preacher said, I'll bury you, madam. But she was fearful of the preacher because she thought that the imam would say God and the preacher say God, but those ain't the same God. But one was going to do it for free, and he was going to read what she wanted him to read. But she couldn't see that. Her mind couldn't conceive because they taught her, if it ain't the imam, you can't do it. That is so far-fetched, brothers and sisters. Well, since I'm on that, let me give you this and put it in perspective. You men supposed to teach your sons how to lead prayer. You also teach your wife in case in your absence she falls in and leads prayer. But when there's a child that's old enough to recite Fatiha, that child, male child, leads prayer. So you got to teach your children. So if a family member passed away, you go to your daddy to do the janazah. If your daddy cannot do it because he's deceased or he's sick or he don't know, then you go to the son. And if the son likewise cannot do it, then you go to the uncle. How do you go outside the family to have a man that don't even know the deceased to lead prayer over top of your deceased. He don't even know how to pronounce his name. Yes, they mess it up. And they don't even know his history, but yet he's recited over there. But then once you come out of that family and go to the email, you got to pay him. So he don't want barakas because he got paid for his righteous service. That's why they don't like me. Because I can do it all. Yes, tonight I'm Imam Murad Rashid Muhammad. But when I hang this home up and you see me, call me Murad. And before you come to my house, call me. My hand might be in the toilet bowl. I'm human. But when I say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I stand upright in my nature. And so I have to give to you that which Allah has given me is in my hard drive, brother. Oh, you didn't know we had a hard drive? Well, how do you think the computers came about? You are a computer. The difference is that the man-made computer have to give credit to the human being that created it. And if it drops water, it's defunct. Yes, you just blew your computer over water. But we give credit to Allah for our computer. But when you pour water on our computer, it works better. What's the difference? One is physical. That's all man knows, just like you are. And the other one is the will of Allah. Knowledge is water. So when Allah feeds my computer, boy, do it work. So I say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, and it comes up. And it shows me, not with the physical eye, with the spiritual eye, how to talk to you tonight. Not that spooky, brothers and sisters. There's no piece of paper in front of me. And why am I talking about this? Because Allah sends you words in the atmosphere. People say things. And touching is a major thing. You want to kill a baby, don't hold it. Don't feel it. Don't touch it. It will die internally. That's how powerful touch is. You have to feel it. Hold on to it. You tell your little nephew, come here. Give me a hug. That lasts. It's better just saying, As-salamu alaykum. So you hug your brother, cheek to cheek. You hold your sister. You hold your wife. Yeah, I'm talking about your Islamic sister. You inferior. You can't touch me, brother. Why? Because I used to be a freak, and they might feel something. Oh, okay, I know you're sick. But that's not what they mean. They mean stay the hell away. Because I'm married, and you ain't supposed to come. Here come the man into the room, and there's three sisters. Now, which one you going to die for, brother? Or did you forget that Miss Ali hugged you and kissed you and gave you the greetings? Well, you going to save her first, aren't you? Well, what happened to the other two? Oh, they didn't want to touch me. You think about it. We hate one another. And the man is so inferior, he got you walking around all covered up, scared somebody might see your body, scared somebody might steal your husband. You ain't even free no more. You're a slave. And you got to be in the dark because they don't want TV. Here's modern technology that was gifted by man, created by Allah, and brought us to this level of the 21st century. And Allah said, where you been, man? Because you didn't create anything. You discovered it. I had it here before you came, but you don't want to accept God's creation. How do we know what's going on? Oh, you messed up now that you know the Ku Klux Klan has been killing us for years, but now they got cameras all over. But you don't want to see that. Oh, they know they saw you tipping out that building. All you got to do is call in and say, can you tell me what came out that building? There go my husband. That's why they don't want you to be in modern technology, because they want to hide. I say, listen, just stay out of my bedroom. But you want to fill me good, then you're going to see an upright human being. And hopefully that my character and my ways will convert you, because you can't talk to everybody. Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam won the community over in his character, his personality. He ain't doing any talking because he didn't know how to talk. So let's clear up this, brothers and sisters. Do you know that your parents was created in heaven? In heaven. That your parents was created in heaven. Even Satan didn't like that. And so you read in the Holy Quran that there was angels up there. And you know the angels. You got one on your left shoulder. That one don't talk to you, but it's right in your history. Everything you think you're doing in the dark will come to the light. But then you got another angel, and that angel whispers in your ear. That was given to you in the womb of your mother. Two angels. But sometimes you turn the deaf ear, and the angel on the right would shut down. But the female got intuity, which most people know as intuition. She can see things that you can't see. Why did God give her to her? Because she raises the child. Now, we men have intuition also, but not like the female. And that is controlled by Allah. No human being can control intuition. So the female can tell that something ain't right, quicker than you. And we don't listen to her. That's why she's called mother. But when Iblis realized that Allah was creating a new creature, he got jealous. Because he was not an angel. So there wasn't all angels up there in heaven. There was people acting like angels. Well, not people. I take that word back. Because a jinn can't be a people. But it was a second creature that wasn't an angel in heaven. And so that creature in heaven didn't like the idea that God decided to create a new creature. So they use words as, why, Lord, will you create more mystery in the land, more bloodshed? Now, common sense tells you, if that's what that creature is asking God, then that means there was bloodshed on earth before we got here. Well, yes, because this creature was the second creation of God. The angel was created out of light, and it doesn't do no wrong. And this creature was a jinn created out of what? Smoke is fire. You know, fire does purify, and fire can be very helpful. But after a fire, you got soot and dirt. No, this is smokeless fire. But he's a bad man. I mean, can't give him that. He's a bad creature. However, who was this that questioned God? It said angels. But if you read it right, it was creatures acting like angels. You know, your wife can act like an angel until you get on her bad nerves. For years, you can tell everybody how great of an angel she is. But come in there with another woman. All of a sudden, she switched. After 30 years, she ain't no angel no more. She want to kick you. Well, that's the jinn. The jinn was acting like an angel until he saw another creature. So he said, why would you create more bloodshed and more mystery in the land? Allah said, I know what you know and know what you know not. But Allah never said, we going to create man. The Bible says that. But Allah don't need no we. Ain't no we. In the Holy Quran, it says, I will create a khalifa. So we was given the name before we come out of the earth. I will create a khalifa on earth. So we are khalifa. The khalifa is not the lead. It's not the dictator. The khalifa is the overseer. But why did he use it plural? You know Arabic. It don't say khalif. Khalif means singular. man, because man can't produce anything. He can plant the seed, but he can't produce anything. But the woman multiplies. So Allah named us Khalifas. There go the female. Allah called him Adam. Where was Eve, brother? Well, if you look at it, you have men telling you you came from a rib. But now, brothers and sisters, why would God make a mistake that he had to put the man to sleep to bring the baby out of his rib? He made a mistake. God makes no mistakes. So that's a myth. Just like it's a myth, we will create man. It didn't say that. It said Khalifa. So that means Adam, with one mole, shaped into a human, but didn't come alive until he breathed into Adam some of his spirit. Where was Eve? Well, listen what Allah says. I created them one soul. There it is. So that means the male and the female is one. That's why you got women acting like men, because she has the tendencies of a male. But she allowed that to dominate her femininity. We men, we got that male boldness and aggressiveness. But then we allow that femininity side of us overshadow our masculine, and now we don't know if we're a man or a woman. But don't give that to God. Because when you came out of that womb, you can tell, just spread the legs, who's who. It's simple math. Allah doesn't make no mistakes, but mentally, you can be whatever you want to be. You can be an animal. You can be a dog. You can be a rat. You know, we call each other dogs right now. Square on somebody. You're a rat. You eat a whole lot, they call you a pig. We everybody. Everything in creation is in us. But everything in creation can't stand upright. They can't stand upright. We stand upright. They cannot stand upright. The jinn can't stand upright. We are the crown of creation. We're the Khalifa. So the Khalifa is the overseer, like a mother, oversee all the children. She don't rule them, but she makes sure they got what they need. That's what we're supposed to do, brothers and sisters. You can't lead unless you're male and female. Because if you don't, you will be destructive. You won't have no sensitivity. You'll get rid of this brother or this sister because you didn't like what they wore or you don't like what they said, and now the family suffers. There's no sensitivity. There's no love. There's no affection. But the female says, no, darling. As you think about his family, you think about his mother, oh, yeah, you can't get rid of them. So you have to be male and female in order to operate in this earth. So Allah breathed into him some of his spirit. And now that his spirit has been came to life, Iblis did not want to bow. So he turned to his obedient creatures called angels. There's no such thing as a fallen angel, brothers and sisters. Or angel been kicked out of heaven. Because if that happens, then he ain't the Lord of all the worlds. Once again, I reiterate, is the one that was acting like angels that was kicked out of heaven. Makes sense, doesn't it? So now he says to his angels, tell me your names. Angels said, Lord, we don't even know what you taught us. So that means Allah didn't teach them their names, but he turned to Adam to tell them their name. So we came out of the earth when God breathed into us some of his spirit. We was intelligent, brother. Remember, this comes from God. Our nature comes from God. You don't die, you evolve. This myth that your son died, this myth that your mother died, this myth that your father died is the way Satan got you all confused. Why would God kill his crown of creation? You evolve. You have to make a way in this world to get to the hereafter. You have to earn it. You owe a debt. Lamedin. Lamedin is the day of religion. That's why everything is being manifest today. Satan don't have no shame. Homosexuals are just flaunting it. And dope dealers are just flaunting it. And murder just happened. Everything is happening. This is a day of religion. You is or you aren't. You can't have in between. But it says Lamedin. Din means debt. You, me, the whole human race owes a debt to God, and you got to pay up. Did they teach you that, sister? You can't blame your parents. You can't blame your husband. It ain't acceptable. Allah send you messengers, send you prophets to you, send you books and signs. Read his signs. You cannot charge your spouse, and you cannot charge your mother and father that you didn't get it. Read, Muhammad. Read in the name of your Lord that created. And we got two fathers. Did you know that Adam was your father? Did you know Abraham was your father? There we go. The first father. El-Rahman El-Rahim. The second father. El-Rahman El-Rahim. But one is a biological father, and the other one is the intellectual father of the human being. You must come to that level. And both of them came with the will of Allah, not this world. This world didn't teach them. Allah didn't need anything from this world, because if so, they would be taking credit. Cannot take credit. Cannot take credit. So you under the myth that it can't happen amongst us. We've been in slavery so long that when we see people doing spectacular things, you say, oh, he just got lucky. I'm known in 200 foreign countries, 6 continents. I mean, every newspaper throughout, yeah, amazing, throughout the world. Go in New York, you can read about me. Go in the library in Newark, you can read about me. How about the library in every city in this state? I'm in every paper. Go in New York. Go in Indianapolis. Go in Chicago. Why don't you take a ride to Las Vegas? Why don't you go to California? How about San Francisco? Wherever you want to go, you're going to read about me. But then don't go to China. Don't go to Korea. Don't go to the Philippines. Don't go to England, Russia. Don't go to France. Don't go to Poland. Isn't that amazing? A formal FOI. A formal FOI has risen to the level of success around the world. Can I take credit for that? Or is it my obedience to God? No drugs, no prostitution, no low morals, no indecency. And they wonder why I say I'm a student of Imam Willis D. Muhammad. Because Imam Willis D. Muhammad, I can tell you all the stories in the Quran and the Bible. I'm a student of the Bible. And I'm a student of the Quran. And I can put the connections together. I could tell you all the stories. Imam said to me, he said, Murad, your comprehension is magnificent. He said, now go back and read it for yourself. I said, what do you mean, brother Imam? He said, get all those fairy tales out your mind. When you hear Allah says, Moses, that's you. Aaron, that's you. Lot, that's you. Noah, his 3 sons, that's you. The one that died, that's you. Abraham, that's you. And the seal of the prophet. Listen to Allah. Tell them, Muhammad, that you are a mortal human being just like them. Bingo. There it is. So I went back and started studying and allowed Allah to talk directly to me. With no interference. I don't mean, brothers and sisters, to beat nobody up. But I have to show my strength or I wouldn't be accepted. I did magnificent things knowing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad across my heart. And I've done magnificent things during the time of Imam Walid Din Muhammad. He saw my heart. And when the brothers of Imam didn't really want to accept me because they felt inferior, I went over to my brothers, 4th Avenue, North Islam, Abu Sunnah, Montclair, and sat amongst those brothers. Now, you can't come in there chucking and jiving, because these are Arabic-speaking brothers that went over in the foreign countries and learned Arabic. And I had to fight them. They love me today because my outstanding ability to perform of that Holy Quran. So I'm on the shore board. And I moved them from one spot to another. They didn't want to come out of the walls. They didn't want to go to Jersey City. It was too far. They didn't want to go in the restaurant because it had a bar. I loved them. Loved them before I came. There ain't no chump in me. Then I was tested physically. I got a reputation. I was physical first. I don't take no prisoners. I don't believe there's a man on the planet could whoop me. Remember, I protected the greatest of all time's life and would gave my life for him. I protected the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's life, would have gave my life for him. I protected Minister James's life, would have gave my life for him. So I was known to be upright in what I do. And every man that you put in a category as being tough, know me. See, the difference is I come to die. I don't play. And that's the way I fought. But Allah blessed me to put it in my intellectual mind. I fought the world. Walking the ABC with the Robert rules. You know, Robert rules for me. So the Robert rules. Robert ain't thought of me when he created the rules. And surely they weren't going to let me grow. But I walked in there with God's name. Took over ABC, NBC, CBS, HBO, USA, Showtime, HBO, pay-per-view, Fox Network, USA, brother. Can you imagine from the project? That's what blows everybody's mind. I keep telling you, read your Holy Quran, and Allah will give it to you. Now I'm trying to bring you all together just for it. Everybody hooked on money. You're afraid to come out of your building because on it you might do $20,000. But can you imagine if we put 100,000 people in the park? Well, brother, they all you have to do is give a dollar. We got 100,000. Well, how about if they gave $10? Do you do the math? And don't let them give you 20. Do you do the math? But they can't conceive that in their mind. They're cut up in tribes. And they don't understand if we come together where Muhammad the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, our ancestors to do will be successful overnight. Now on this radio show, I think this is my 6th month, but 2 months ago I went viral. Is that me or is that Allah? That we went viral, brother. That you can't play those games. Blog Talk Radio sent me a text saying you went viral. I mean, there's millions of people out there, not you. Millions out there listening to me. I must be saying something, right? But you can't put me in no four walls. You think 4th Avenue can hold this? You think Abu Sunnah can hold this? You think all the masjids under Emmanuel Wallace Muhammad ain't going under no four walls with a ceiling? You ain't containing this. I talk to the world. Why do you think I'm known around the world? Because my production went around the world. I just saw him on ABC. Hey, go on NBC. Hey, go on HBO. My God, you see him on Showtime? Oh, my God, he's on pay-per-view. He did over $150,000 in 6 months. How do a man from the projects able to do that? And I come home. I come home, brothers and sisters, and your own family don't even know who you are. You got to call them for this. You got to call them for that. Oh, I'll get to you. And you know, the thing about it is I'm a creator. But if I wasn't down here on ground zero again, I wouldn't see this stupidity. I see men working for the white man and think they in heaven. And all he got to do one day is pull the plug. Where would they go? None of them got education. All of a sudden, everything they got just went out the window. Now they got to find jobs. There's none. So they're on unemployment because they can't go to work. Because they can't work for themselves because ain't nobody did anything for them. But they take for granted that that job going to be there forever. So they hold on. But then they got a relative that creates. Don't give me no job.
Mr. Muhammad, we'll give you $1 million a year, and we'll get you $1 million home, and we'll give you a Bentley if you come work for us.
Well, why would they give me that? Because my mind can bring them $100 billion. Now you just killed me. That I'm bringing you $1 billion, and I'm going home with $1 million and a Bentley and $1 million home. Don't kill me. I create. Ever since I was 9 years old, I don't work for anyone but Allah. And that word, jewel, someone put that vowel on it, but get rid of it. It's job. Ain't no such thing as jewel. It's job. You can lose everything on this job. You can lose your family on this job. You can have blood up to your ankles on this job. Your wife can turn against you on this job because you got leprosy. You ugly now. You ain't about nothing, so they all run. Do you have patience of your job? Well, who you have patience with? Allah. It's called work. I work for the Lord. I don't work for no man. I give my time to my Lord. See, that's the difference from you and I. You can't read. That E threw you off. But Allah says in the Holy Quran, come you all workers. It didn't say, come you all believers, come you all Muslims, come you all that say, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, come you all workers, and welcome to paradise. What part you didn't understand, brother Iman, because you ain't teaching it. And that's why your sister is fed up, but you got clicks. Click over here. You do a little something. Click over there. You do a little something. Click over. Satan got us so divided up now, we don't even come together to see each other as one. Why? We got two holidays in a picture. You just came out of that. But that was for you, the night of power. You sleeping in the masjid, waiting for something to come through the building to hit you. Whoa, you're rich now. Whoa, now you got a beautiful home. Whoa, look at the money I got in the bank. You think that's the night of power? Well, let me wake you up. Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never did ta'lim in the masjid. He didn't do all those rak'ahs. And the reason he didn't do this during the holy month of Ramadan, so you wouldn't think it was obligated. See how merciful he was? He didn't want you to be hung up on rituals. But if you in your home with your beautiful wife during the holy month of Ramadan, tell her how you love her and want to grab and hug her when the sun goes down, that's another thing. Food, water, you can't drink, you can't have sex. Three of the most important things of your life, and Allah tell you to withstand from that, and you thought it actually meant just that. No, it's saying build up your strength for all the things that's less than that that you do, like smoke and drink and fornicate. You could have met adultery. You know who you all are. You go right back doing just what you were doing. It's a ritual to you. But this light of understanding comes down and you can conceive it. It's an explosion in your mind. Like a fire, but that's the light coming on. You say, wow. Now I know. Now I know. My conscience is everything. Now I can see it. Not with my physical eyes, with my conscience. My taqwa. Now I understand what it means by Kafa. I didn't know this before. So you can't charge me as being a Kafa. It wasn't my understanding. But now I got the understanding, but I won't yield to it, and I won't obey it. Now I'm a Kafa. That's all Kafa means, Garden of the Consciousness. So if you are conscious of El Islam and you chose not to practice it, then you're a Kafa. But you can't give that to a Christian. Who are you to send somebody to jail? Well, you're trying to send them to hell. Prophet Muhammad, upon him who we praise, and the peace be upon the mortal human excellence, from all believers to being and understanding what believers mean. It's including more than just you Muslims. God says in the Holy Quran that he'll be that believer is on all of the human being, the excellent motto. Any who believes in God in the last day and believe that they have to be careful to believe in God, that they should be accountable to their Creator. Any of you who believe that, Muhammad and his excellent motto represent just that. So there will be no burden on you, Christian, if you believe in Allah in the last day. That's all God asked you to do. So Muhammad the prophet is talking to you. He is the perfect example for you. There's no compulsory in El-Islam. You don't have to accept this religion, but you do have to be a perfect example in the like the motto to all of us, to every human being. You can't hold his brothers and sisters, Muhammad the prophet, just for you. Why, you are selfish. It's for the Christians, it's for the Jews, it's for the Hindus. It's for the atheists. Muhammad the prophet's chest expanded, but you wanna make it your chest. Well, you weren't chosen to be the perfect example. So it's for every human being on the face of the planet. And you should be thankful to Allah that he chose you to accept and understand El Islam, but you got a burden. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said it well. What did he say? What is the duty of the civilized man? To teach the uncivilized. Well, the third grade education, he advocated that. Are you teaching? I don't think so. You're just operating in this world. And you don't have a clue. So your mother, that sperm your father shot into your mother, is millions of life germs trying to get to the egg. They all die except one. Now, there's exceptions to the rule. There's twins, there's triplets. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the majority. One gets in. And that one little sperm is blood and semen and water. But it's life. Man don't know it. Man got to wait 30 days and say, yes, you're pregnant. But Allah said, being it is. Now, while you in that womb, the angels mold you and shape you. Allah doesn't have to come in that womb. That's why he got angels. Give him a pair of legs. Yes, Lord. Lord said, give him a pair of legs. Yes, I will, Lord. Give him a pair of feet. Yes, I would, Lord. Give him two hands. Yes, I will. All this is asked how Allah wants you shaped in that womb. But then she got to carry you for 9 months. In 9 months, she goes through aches and pains. She's all out of proportion. Her body got fat on it, and she got bumps on her face. She got gas. 9 months. And then she got to be on the operation table. And she got to deliver you. And the doctor tells her to push. She he can die on that operation table because he's given back life. Now, some men will tell you, Doc, what I got there? Well, you got a son, but only one of them can live. Man, give me that son. Because why? In his foolish mind, he wants a son. But a man that studied and understand the Holy Quran, he said, Doc, give me my wife. I don't know that son, but I know my wife, and we can make more babies. But he don't understand that if mama died, mama got to be judged. And she's only 20, and she's 30, and she's 40, or she's 50. Yeah, some of them can't have babies at 50. But she got more time on earth if you bring me her back to beg God for forgiveness. My son is going to heaven. Why? He ain't of this world. He never saw this world, so how is anybody going to judge him? He goes right to heaven, but he ain't steady. Give me my son. You see how radical they understand? I know radical is them over there shooting people. No, you are radical in your understanding why you can't go nowhere. You're just as stupid as they are. But she delivers this child, and they put it in her arms, and she is so elated that she forgets the pain. God removes the pain from her, and he gives her another one, and he gives her another one. She's no freak, brother. She's just doing the will of God, because we don't make babies. We make whoopee. Only God creates babies. And it has nothing to do with you or me. It has something to do with the will of God. He molds and shapes that child. He writes the destiny of that child. None of them, most of them, don't get to their destiny. My mama told me she walked in the streets because she didn't like her sister. And carried me and slept in bandit cars. She could have flushed me down the toilet. And that's why you brothers that say you in Islam mistreat your mama. The hadith says if your mother goes to bed crying because you hurt her feelings, you go closer to the hellfire. Mama's important. So let's listen to Imam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Rasuli, the messenger of God. Who's the most important person in your life? He said, my mother. Oh, Rasuli, who is the second most important person in your life? He said, my mother. Oh, Rasuli, who is the third most important person in your life? He said, my mother. Oh, Rasuli, who is the fourth most important person in your life? He said, my father. Wow. Three. Took us three stages to be developed. Three, dhikra. Three, not 99. SubhanAllah, Alhamdulillah, Allah Akbar. Three, you cannot leave prayer for Jummah unless you have three. What is the three, brother? You got to have the spirit, and you got to have the soul, but you can't leave prayer if you don't have the body. The soul leads you in prayer, but if the soul is confused, then the spirit and the body is confused. You got to watch who leads you. So your mama is Al-Fatiha in the beginning, because mama is there when you're sick. She nurses you back to health. Mama feeds you when you couldn't feed yourself. Mama changed your nasty, dirty diaper when nobody would change it. Mama caught you when you stumbled and tried to fall. Mama raised you, but man, mama could have flushed you down the toilet, and yet you are here. If you don't respect your mother, something's wrong with you. You will never be successful. Allah frowns upon any human being that disrespects the woman that he created. My brother, Adam, Noah, Moses, Jesus, Abraham, Muhammad, all the prophets came through that womb. Dr. King, Malcolm, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Imam Walidi Muhammad, Ms. Farrakhan. Name them all. You can't exist, man, unless you come through that womb. Oh, where, what womb did Adam come out of? You put your head on the womb. Respect the womb that bears you. You put your head inside your prayer, not on the floor, that's marble. Not on the tile, that's marble. Not on the brick or the rug. You brothers that brought these rugs, y'all take them back. We put our head on the earth. They don't call it Father Earth, they call it Mother Earth. That's the birth in which we come from, while you inside your prayer as if you down there in the womb of your mother. You don't know that, brother? No, you don't know it. But you can't come to Allah not standing upright. Oh, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us how to stand upright. We didn't know how to make sajda. Why? Well, we wasn't bending our back for nobody. And we sure wasn't getting on our knees, so he had to start us off. The Bible says your head is in the sky. You have to come straight up, upright. When you hear that damn call, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, he's waking your five senses. And he's asking you to come to Salat. But coming to Salat doesn't mean you come to prayer. You come into life, brother. You come into life. You come into live. Hayat Salat. You come into live. Hayat. Just go check out the Arabic word. Live. Life. Hayat Salat. Allah don't want you just to come and pray. You come to success. So you in Qiyam position upright. You got women that put their hands over their chest. That's okay, because we suck that breast. That's how we live. We don't have to look for no food. All we look for is the nipple right there waiting for us. Well, I don't need nothing from man. Your mother give it to you. But you see us with our hands over our neighbor. Why? That's the navel cord to your mama, fool. That kept you alive until you had to cut it and breathe on your own. That big head is in the sky. Allahu Akbar! You go down in Qiyam position. I'm sorry. In Ruku position. Where is that big head now? It's parable of the heart. It's not in vertical. It's in horizontal. What is God saying to you, man? That if you don't come in tune with your heart, you'll never make it. When you out-talk your mama, and you tell your mama how you feel, now you lucky a man don't get up and smack you. You sissy, you coward. You talk to your mother any kind of way. So that big head in Raku position is the same as your heart. Your mother is your heart. But you ain't in tune with that. Then you stand back up in Qiyam. You better say Allahu Akbar. And you go down because you might have a cramp. You might have a heart attack. You ain't moving because Allah willed it. And then you go down inside your prayer. And where is that big head? On the womb. Or where is the heart? Above the head. Why? Why did Allah put the heart above your head? Because you big head scientists, well, where you find that in the Quran? Is that the hadith? And where in the hadith did you see that? That big head questions everything, but not the heart. The heart never questions God. but you won't follow your heart. But Allah makes it over the top of your head. You got the littlest thing on the body called the head. And Allah gave you power, and then you lose it because you're out your mind. So the body don't listen to you no more. The heart don't listen to you no more. Now you're a junkie. You're in skid row. You're complacent, can't go nowhere. Because the head done went off track. But then something hits you, like an explosion. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to love my mother. I'm going to beg God for forgiveness. And I'm going to tell Mama I will never raise my voice again to you. Whoa. Now the body is listening to the head because his head is on straight. So you go to the heart and say, can you tell brother so-and-so? The heart says, no, you have to talk to him. He's our leader. Allah put you over top of your own earth, brother. That body is earth. That's your paradise. You in charge. But you're destroying your paradise because of your stupidity and of this world. Mama is important. The Bible even says, love thy mother, thy father, and your years will be prolonged. I think that's a good saying. Because a lot of y'all don't even respect your father. Allah used his seed. Shouldn't you say a dua for your father if he's not here? No, you don't do it. And you don't say a dua for your ancestors who suffered the bounds of suffering and went through slavery so we can stand upright and say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So let me introduce this to you. This myth about marriage. All these pieces of papers and all these rituals, you got nothing. You don't have nothing when you got married. You don't have nothing when you end up married. You're fighting. That's not marriage. Go in the scripture and find me how Adam and Eve married. That's too far back. Well, find out how Moses was married, Noah. Oh, that's too far back. Well, let's come up a little bit and find out how Abraham married Sarah and Hajji. Oh, you think that's too far? All right, then how did Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam marry Khadija? What man recited rituals over him? You see, the morals were so high that if you enter into the womb of the female, that's your wife. But we so unconscious, we so off track, it's just sex to us. But Allah didn't create you just to have sex. Well, the Caucasian knows that to be true. So I'm going to give you a metaphor. There was a young lady in the courtroom, and she was crying about she wanted a divorce. And the man said, I want a divorce too. So he said, well, how long have you been married? We were married for 9 months, Your Honor. He said, but did you consummate the marriage? What do you mean? Did you enter into her? No, we never had sex. You're divorced. Doesn't mean nothing. Yeah, but we signed the paper. Doesn't mean nothing, sir. You owe her and she owe you. You didn't consummate it. Whoa. Where did they get that one from? Because that's the way the morals was with the human being. You have to consummate it, but y'all backwards. Oh, that's my significant other. That's my girlfriend. Yeah, I'm married to her, but she ain't married to me. Y'all all confused. So a man marries his wife with God's name and treat her like she's the world, would give his life for her, will kill someone over her because they're one soul. Sister, did you go through the ritual? Did you go get an imam to marry you? Yes, if you're in kindergarten. Because most of the imams, they ain't taking care of their own. And they don't know how to take care of their own. Or they ain't the rulers of their house. They're weak, spineless, and stealing other people's wives. And you want me to go to a man, and that's going to certify that I'm married because I made a ritual in front of someone else. Allah sees everything. You ever pray over your food? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. You don't need all of that. Now, Dad, you're going to make prayer? Yes. Bismillah. I don't need nothing else. Allah is sufficient. No, brother. You trust in Allah and tie your camel. Yeah, come on with that kindergarten stuff. You tell somebody else that. I call on Allah, but I got to call his animal that he creates and tie it to order to prove that I got to go and do something after I call Allah, and he's the Lord of all the world. But if you want to get it right, Our Baba in the 40 Thieves, he said, believe in God, tie your camel, and sharpen your sword. So get it right. That's a proverb. You ain't find that in no Revelation. See how people just bring us something? Ramadan Kareem. You don't find that in the Holy Quran. It's Ramadan Barak. Why would God give you something weak than blessings of God? Because they won't teach. Oh, they don't know how to teach. So, brothers and sisters, if we be truthful to God, so I'm going to leave you with this because I got only a couple minutes. The angel said to God, should I help him? He said, no. Don't help him until he changed that which is bothering his soul. And he can't come to my creation. Meaning you can't go to your mother, can't go to your father, you can't go to none of his creation. So who do you beg? Allah. Allah says, I do not hear your prayer. Until you help change that which is bothering your soul. Is your soul pleased? Yes, I'm pleased, Lord, then you please me. That's Allah. Allah said, wait till they come back to their obedience to me. Then you help them. When they return back to their al-fitra. I thank you for listening to me, brothers and sisters. And if I said anything to hurt you, I apologize. I ask Allah to forgive me. If I said anything and misquote or mispronounce, I'm human. But if I said anything for you to stand up in your soul and your spirit and revert back to your al-fitra, to your obedience to God, don't give me that credit. Give that credit to Allah. I greet you from all the prophets, from Adam to Noah to Abraham, to Jesus, to Muhammad, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the Arabic words, from the Holy Quran. This is Allah speaking, no other person. These are his words. No other man can take credit for the Holy Quran. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. And thank you for listening.